Chapter 6.
You did insult him, said Armina. No, I don't think so. But he cut things off just then.
Kandawaya sighed.
We were out of time. My fault. I shouldn't have arrived so late.
The two of them walked briskly down the lumen-lit corridor, hurrying from the inner council chambers towards the reception suites. Guards stood passively at the intersections, trying to look alert as a High Lord passed by. It was late, though, and the shifts were soon to switch over. The entire complex seemed semi-dormant, as if caught in half-slumber, and now wondering how long it would be until dawn.
"He's given me another audience," Kandawaya said, as they turned into the long passageway leading down towards the inner gates. "I thought you could demand as many as you liked."
"I've never demanded anything," Kandawaya said. "Now that I've met him properly, it seems even more ludicrous than ever. I sense he wants to talk. Imagine that. I thought it would be like drawing blood from a stone."
Armina hesitated, and they both came to a brief halt.
"I'll say it again. I don't understand what you hope to accomplish with this, even if you have as many hours as you need. We're already committed. We have been committed for months."
"Not yet," said Kandawaya. "We can still pull back if we need to. I want to hear it first from his lips."
She smiled.
"It's procedure. Still a stickler for it."
"When it suits you," Armina said under her breath as they started to stride out again.
"I thought somehow he'd be prouder. He talks like a man without pride. Imagine that, after all he's done."
They reached an anteroom with two mail-clad guardians posted at the doors beyond. Kandawaya gestured, and they pulled them open, revealing a plush room of fine fabrics and soft lumen glare. A pair of long couches flanked a polished table, on which rested a half-drunk cup of recaf and a crumb-topped napkin. The man sitting on the left-hand couch looked the wrong size for his robes.
"Ofa," said Kandawaya, rushing up to him and taking him by both hands. "Back safe. When you're away, I..."
The man smiled, nodding.
"Aye, Kandawaya. Worry less. It was worth the trip."
Armina sat primly in the background, and the guards shut them in again. Kandawaya sat opposite Ofa, hitching her long skirts and shuffling forward.
"Tell me everything."
He reached for the data slate and handed it to her.
"All in here. Read it if you wish to become sleepy. In case you don't wish to, here are the two things you need to know."
Armina quietly reached up to her collar and activated a clandestine sweeper baffle. Having listening devices in the council chambers of the High Lords was unlikely, but not impossible. In its short life, the civilian administration of the Imperium had become almost as paranoid as the military. The only sign of her action was a slight tingle in the filtered atmosphere.
"First," said Ofar, "the observation of the tower and inner walls. You are right. The custodians are withdrawing from the main patrol routes and concentrating on the Senatorum complex. I could not follow many of them, but they appear to be going somewhere underground. Literally, underground. I suspect there are chambers down there that none of us has access to. Quite why they need to gather there is mysterious. But here's the thing. Whatever the truth of that, it's clear to me that there are very few of them here. Tiny numbers, far fewer than I expected. Of course, we can't be sure, but I suspect, High Lord, I suspect that so many are fighting elsewhere that the ones here are stretched to breaking. Perhaps that's why he's come back now? There will never be a better time, but it can't last."
Kandawaya nodded. "Understood, though it would be folly to underestimate them. That creates a vacuum which must be getting filled. What's doing that?"
"The seneschals of the Departamento Regia Interior, as you'd expect. I've seen others drafted in south of the Senatorum. One new regiment, the Castellan Exemplars. Heard of them?"
"Never." "The second thing?"
Ofar leaned forward, jabbing a long finger at the data slate in Kandawaya's hands.
Small arms, advanced type. Bolt guns, personnel grenades, a lot of incendiaries. I can make little sense of the batch markings, but the quantities are there to see. Nothing like these is manufactured here. I have no idea at all where one could get hold of such things. All highly illegal, but it's been waved through. The crates are somewhere in the palace now. That's your second problem.
As you predicted. Kandawire sat back and scanned through the data slate's figures. And right on time. Armina looked at Ofar warily. Were you detected? Ofar shrugged.
Who knows? It's sad that they see every scrap of shadow under the sun, but I don't think so.
He turned to Kandawire.
I do not think that you need any more reasons.
Kandawire smiled wryly.
Oh, I could do with many more and more time. They are already moving. This thing has started. If I were you, then...
You are not me, Ofar, and that is certainly for the best. I have another appointment with him.
I already voiced my concern about that, interjected Armina. He wishes to keep you talking now, said Ofar. Just more delays. He's no fool and will not mistake you for one either.
I never thought he was, said Kandawire. But I have my own reasons for wanting this. So little is known even now about where this all came from. It should come from his lips if possible, and it is all being recorded.
She put the data slate down and clasped her hands together.
Evidence, a case, that is how it must be done.
Dangerous, said Armina. He's a killer, said Ofar. They say he can kill with a glance.
Kandawire snorted.
Nonsense! You are hesitating, Kondedwa. If I had done so back then, we would never have made it out of Africa. Remember that lesson.
Kandawire shot him an irritated glance, and for a moment she was that little girl again, too spoiled to be fearful, irritated at leaving her vids behind as the world burned. Then the expression melted away, revealing older, harder features. I have enough to give the signal, but they can be called back any time.
Any time, said Armina. Any time, said Ofar.
The chamber fell silent. From somewhere, everywhere, the low hum of machinery filtered through the thick walls. They never rested, those machines, building, building, building. Kandawire looked up at the whitewashed ceiling. Even here, right at the heart of the most powerful empire the world had ever known, the cracks were already visible. It was all happening too fast, and things were not setting right.
Very well, she said softly. Tell them to begin.
Leora Harad had been in the dungeon for 6 hours, and the extended shift was getting to her. She lifted her hand, encased in a translucent layer of antibacterial synth skin, and observed the miner tremble there. She was hungry. She was tired. Still, she could hardly leave her post yet, not without authorization from Iliad. She let her hand fall again and glanced from side to side. Down the rows of technicians at their cell-like stations, 4,000 in both directions. Not for the first time, she wondered what she was doing there among them. It was not a real dungeon. They all called it that, however, for the old tropes were present and correct. Stone walls blotched with algae and damp, heavy archways sunk in darkness, thick flags on the floors, all uneven, many cracked. Leora had no idea when the place had been built, but it was clearly a very long time ago. It was a long way down. It took her over an hour to travel by turbo lift from the upper reaches of the secure workers' compound through the many levels of increasing darkness and secrecy before finally the mouldering heart of the dungeon welcomed her for another day of toil. The daily journey was like traveling in time. You started at the top, where the gleaming walls were being raised in defiance of the climate and altitude, all gold and alabaster to catch the blaze of the unveiled sun. Then you were descending fast through the pre-imperial zones, piled atop one another in blocks of cracking rockcrete, and the light began to fade, giving way to rows of industrial lumen banks. A little further, and then you were truly underground, sliding along transit shafts on chain transports and glimpsing the flicker of underhab levels in the dark. There were many things tantalizingly beyond view, the foundations of the mighty reactors that kept the growing city supplied with power, the water processors, the waste caverns with their endlessly rotating purifier turntables. Tunnel entrances opened, gaping invitingly, but with no signage or proper illumination, it was impossible to know where they led. Down, down, down. The enclosed atmosphere warmed up, and travellers in the conveyor cages shed their cold weather gear. There were security stops, a dozen of them. The initial checkpoints were manned by seneschals of the Departamento Regia Interior. The guards became more fearsome the further you went, until, right at the bottom, they were the gold-plumed mortal servants of the tower itself. Now and again, the process would even be supervised by one of the custodian guard themselves, towering silently over the queues of technician caste workers seeking entrance to the dungeon precincts. They scared Leora. They scared everyone. That was their function, of course, to loom in the shadows, saying nothing, doing nothing, just watching. On the rare occasions they moved, their armour whispered with a spectre hum of perfectly aligned machinery. They smelled faintly of ritual incense. In this hyper-rational imperium, they were throwbacks to a mystical past, possessed of such raw physical prowess that it daunted the soul just to contemplate it. And then, beyond the last sentinel station, was the dungeon. Its size was similarly daunting, an entire city buried in the roots of the mountains, lightless save for its constellations of floating suspensor lumens, themselves poised over deeper shafts that carried on down, seemingly towards the heart of the planet itself. Some of the chambers were of standard human dimensions, others were truly cyclopean. All were humid, cloying, and scored hard with age. Breathing that heavy air felt like ingesting the dust of innumerable generations locked away down here, while the world above burned with unleashed atomics, hibernating in safety, planning, building, waiting for the moment to emerge again. Leora sighed. She rolled her shoulders. The station in front of her looked much as it always did, racks of dishes and vials glowing softly from the photosensitive chems in the solutions. A microcogitator chattered away, producing a narrow ream of marked archive parchment. Her analyzer lenses tilted in from the right-hand side, the injectors and the centrifuges from the left. Comm tubes snaked around her, each loaded with vacuum canisters ready for dispatch to the laboratorium collator hoppers. Mecha arms twitched overhead, hung from the rails that ran the length of the echoing hall, ready to scoop up burdens and clatter them down the long trails towards the incubators. All around her, technicians were working. Their backs were curved, their hands busy, their faces hidden behind refractive clusters of zoom lenses. Transistor beads hummed with static electricity. Every so often, snatches of it would skip and flicker down the long aisles, briefly illuminating the coal-black vaults above. The space stank of ammonia, and vents of steam curled from wheezing atmospheric scrapers. She looked back at the dish in front of her, clamped in place with brass arms, studded with a dozen calibrated injectors and sensor bulbs. She considered the contents, its flaws and its virtues, and what could be done about the former while preserving the latter. She reset the amniotic layer, ready to run the charge through it again. Sanguinary obsessive trait B, she inputted onto the cogitator's mind wafer. Will attempt to rectify again. Before she could depress the lever, a pulse kicked into her temple-set combead. She considered ignoring it, the research was at a delicate stage, but then remembered what was at stake. She cancelled the injection, pulled the electrodes out of the solution precursor, and flooded the dish with refrigerant. Then she checked the secure transmission.
"I received your request," came Iliad's thin voice. "Very well, if you must, but be quick."
So he'd agreed. Good. There had never been any guarantees. "Complying," she sent back, and pushed away from the station. It took a few moments to decouple her neural plugs, and then she was walking down the long aisle, her shoes clicking on the stone floor. No one watched her go. The rows of faces, hundreds of them, remained fixed at their stations, illuminated by pale blotches from below. The only sounds were the scratch of auto quills, the clicking of the machines, the faint bubbling of the amniotic tubes. The atmosphere was reverent, almost religious. Ironic, she thought. Leora reached the outer portal, submitted herself to the security sweep, then went to the pulse shower chambers to shed her protective gear and change into her standard uniform. As ever, when she peeled the synth skin from her hands, the flesh underneath was puffy and livid with irritation. She stepped through the scanners, pressed her fingertip to the pheromone reader, waited patiently for the blood sample needles. Then she was out, still within the dungeon confines, but beyond the steel trap perimeter that guarded the chambers where the real work was actually done. The guards were still numerous, as were her fellow technicians, but the surveillance level dropped a fraction. She looked up to where ranked standards of the Raptor Imperialis hung listlessly in the humid air. It got to you, after a while, being enclosed all the time, never seeing the open sky. She had heard stories of technicians going mad, having to be dragged off by the attendants, never to be seen again. She had even considered how possible it would be to fake an episode, just to see where all the invalids ended up. Of course, she had her great purpose now, and that made the monotony bearable. She walked with surety, for the readiest way to attract attention was to give the slightest hint of uncertainty. Gradually, the crowds thinned out. She was heading for the lower storage depots, where flesh and blood adepts were increasingly outnumbered by lumbering, wafer-automated forklifts. Some of those spaces were huge, and you couldn't even see the roof from the floor. Some were off-limits and sealed with heavy blast doors. Every inch of it all was drenched in paranoia and need-to-know mysteriousness, the subterranean city of secrets. She reached her destination, a nondescript metal portal with the usual range of security seals and retinal scan appendages. She slunk into the doorwell, pressing herself up against the inner edge. "Here now," she pulsed over the direct link. "Access, please." It took a while for the command to come through. No doubt they all had to go carefully too. Then, one by one, the lock slid open. The scanner blinked out and the seals broke. Leora pushed the access panel lightly and the door hissed open. She slipped inside and the perfect dark slid over her as the door closed her in. She stood for a moment in the shadow, waiting for her breathing to subside. She could already smell some of what she had come to find, stacked up neatly, ready for inspection. The only remaining task was to check the manifests were accurate. This was the last batch, and so after that, everything would be ready to go. Then, for some reason, she sniffed. It should have been musty in that chamber, clogged with the stale air that filled every storeroom on the level. But there was something else, something like incense. Before she knew anything more, lumens came on, flaring like torches. She tried to scrabble back through the door, but the lock seemed to have jammed tight. She blinked, only making the dazzle worse. Despite that, she was able to notice two important and unexpected things. First, the chamber was empty of its expected cargo. There were no storage crates on the floor, though from the scratches on the rockcrete, it looked as though something had been there at one stage. Second, she was not alone. The other occupant was gigantic, a third taller than her and far bulkier. Even blurred by her watering eyes, she could see just what had been caged in here with her, and it made her want to gag with terror. "Technician Leora Harrod, Class Tertius," said Simonas calmly, keeping his usual civilized distance. "I think it is time that you and I spoke candidly."